Here on Breakfast yesterday, we were talking about advances in closing the gap in Indigenous eye health, with doctors on track to stamp out trachoma by the end of 2020. But in February, the federal government's annual report card on the 10-year strategy, closing the gap strategy, found just 3 of the 7 targets were on track to be met: child mortality rates, early education, and year 12 attainment rates. But life expectancy, employment, reading and writing, and school attendance were all behind. Next month, the government's expected to announce some new targets under a review known as Closing the Gap Refresh. But a coalition of 13 peak Indigenous bodies wants greater involvement, say the gaps won't close without them. Pat Turner is the Chief Executive of the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation. Pat Turner, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thank you.
Just before we get to the problems as you see them with this Refresh project, can you remind us, Pat, about the progress, or lack of it, in closing the gap on a series of Indigenous health measures in particular? Where do we sit today?
Well, largely the process has failed. None of the targets were met. They were on track, but there's also 4 targets that have expired, and not a peep out of governments about what they're doing apart from renewing them next month.
The child mortality rate was one that was listed as on track to halve the gap in mortality rates for Indigenous children under 5 within a decade. So that was by this year. That's said to be on track. Has that gap closed? It's obviously a crucial one.
No, well, being on track doesn't mean it's closed.
Right.
It means it's going at the rate that the target set 10 years ago. You know, there's still a big difference between Aboriginal health data and the general Australian population.
I'm not sure if you know that, but do you know what the difference is, what the gap is in the child mortality rates?
No.
That's okay. So would that be one you would expect to be part of the refresh, to be recommitted to?
Absolutely.
And what other ones do you think will be part of the closing the gap refresh?
Well, I think they're going to look at birth weight of Aboriginal children. I'm not sure what that tells us, and what's a good birth weight because of modern medicine. And I'm not sure what the others are really, Fran, because we haven't seen the final set.
Okay, and is that the problem right there, that you, for instance, you're the Chief Executive of the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, so plugged into the health status of Indigenous people, the determinants of health and where we're going, and you don't even know what the government's looking at?
No, that's right. We've not been formally given any of the targets. I understand there may be 2 health targets, but nevertheless, to close the gap, there should have been consulting with us right the way through, and we should have been in agreement with them.
So what's gone wrong here, Pat? I mean, the government says it's run 9 months of consultations for Closing the Gap Refresh. It included a special gathering of 64 invited Indigenous people back in February, including then Advisory Council head Chris Sara, Rod Little from the National Congress and others. So there has been some consultation. Obviously, not everyone can be involved. What's your issue about the consultation?
Well, we understand that, and our issue is that there's been no genuine negotiation. The special gathering, of course, was a good start. However, what they asked for and what COAG said would be delivered, particularly a partnership, didn't happen. Instead, the consultations that happened after the special gathering were very superficial, and we were not given the opportunity to properly prepare for workshops. Discussion was only about the targets, which meant other important elements of closing the gap that we need, such as the COAG agreement, were not talked about at all.
Now, you've written, you and others, your organisation, NACHO, and other peak bodies, have written to COAG first ministers asking for a full partnership approach. You've written in the past, and now you've had to write again. Why? Yeah. What's been the response to your letter?
Well, virtually nothing until the last week. We received a letter from Michael Gunner, the Chief Minister in the Northern Territory. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I received one from the Aboriginal Affairs Minister in the ACT on behalf of Andrew Barr.
That's all? That's all? How long ago did the first letter get sent?
On the 4th of October. And the second one went on the 16th of November.
And what do you, what do you think of that lack of response?
Well, I think it's appalling. And, you know, I want all of the governments to take our concerns seriously, because we're offering a full partnership here to reach a better, to achieve better outcomes for the next phase of closing the gap. So we think this needs to be a formal agreement that's built into the Closing the Gap framework, setting out how we'll work together, our responsibilities, and what they will be.
And Pat, without getting sort of sidetracked into a whole nother constitutional discussion, is this, you know, the debate about the statement from the heart and the third chamber, and, you know, the government saying we don't want a third chamber, but this notion of another voice being built in, giving some kind of constitutional recognition, would this be a good example of the sort of consultation, the sort of issue that the third voice, if you like, the Indigenous voice, might be invited to advise on? Is this a perfect example of that? I mean, here's the Parliament has an annual Closing the Gap strategy, and you're saying that groups like yours aren't even consulted.
That's right. And, you know, the thing is that this can be agreed now. It just requires a simple endorsement by COAG. There's no need for legislation or a referendum. There's nothing holding the Commonwealth and the states and territories back from formally engaging with us on policies that impact on us every day. And this can start with the Closing the Gap refresh. So, you know, we are seeking a voice, this partnership on Closing the Gap, because we know that to close the gap, we need to be fully involved. Better outcomes are achieved when we are.
It's quarter to nine on Breakfast. Pat Turner is the Chief Executive of NACHO, the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation. This refresh is going on. Whether there's more consultation with you and others, it's still unclear, but that's what you want. But some have called for a closing of the gap target on reducing the number of Aboriginal kids removed from their families. How would that fit with some law that is likely to be passed in New South Wales today, enabling easier or faster adoptions of children?
Well, not very well, of course. You know, every child protection system in Australia is broken, in my view. And instead of passing laws that are more harmful to Aboriginal children being removed permanently from their communities and their families and extended families, they should be looking at reforming child protection systems and having more support systems in place for vulnerable families.
Can you understand, though, that if kids, Indigenous or non-Indigenous kids, are sort of, you know, in a sense, rocketing around the out-of-home care system, that it is safer for them ultimately to be within a stable family environment? And if that can't be with their birth family, then somewhere else, there's a benefit to that or not?
Everybody wants children to be safe, to be loved, to be nurtured and to be healthy. And the trouble is that that isn't always the case, whether they're in foster care, and we've seen the abuse in institutions and so on. So we don't want our kids taken permanently. We negotiated the first Aboriginal placement principle of placement first within our communities way back in 1979 with the Northern Territory Government, and I was in Aboriginal Affairs with Charlie Perkins when we met with the Territory Government and they agreed. So, you know, these have been long-standing principles of Aboriginal people and communities, and we want them to stay in place. We want the governments to do other, to put in place other diversionary systems and arrangements that will support the families so that the children can stay with them.
What's your fear if this law is passed in New South Wales?
We'll see a wholesale adoption of Aboriginal children out of our communities forever.
Pat Turner, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Pat Turner is the Chief Executive of the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, and we did contact the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Nigel Scullion, and the Minister for Indigenous Health, Ken Wyatt, but we're yet to receive a response to those requests. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 13 minutes to 9. And just an addendum to that question we asked Pat Turner there, we were discussing the mortality rate of Indigenous children, infants. As 2016, the mortality rate for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children under five was 153.6 deaths per 100,000, and the non-Indigenous rate of mortality under five was 73.2 deaths per 100,000. So that's more than double, and that's after the closing gap strategy had been going for 8 years.